And after he dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Okay, I just want to stop there for a minute. Okay, if you call yourself a follower of God, then you have to believe that Jesus is God's son, or Jesus is God in human form. I mean, you have to believe that. So the question is, Jesus needed time alone to pray? What does this tell me? I think all too often in our lives, we get busy with doing our own thing, and we forget that we have the author of life, the creator of the universe, beside us, inside us, ready to help and to be there. And when I look at that, then I just think, I need to take time to pray to God daily. I mean, if Jesus needed that time alone with God, and Jesus and God are the same, it's like this is really start to, what does that mean for me? Why do I attempt to live my life without taking that time to ask God for direction, to listen to his voice? And so for me, right away, the very first thing in this whole event, wow, I need to also take that time to pray with God daily. Now, going back to the scripture. So then when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against it. All right, so yeah, it's a stormy night. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. It was interesting. I've read the Bible through several different times, and I would have preached from this passage, I'm sure, some. I don't even know how many. And as I was looking through this, a commentary pointed out something very interesting to me. Jesus walking on the water, in the Old Testament, you have Yahweh walking on the water. Let me give you a couple of those. And so Job 9:8, and I'm giving you in two different versions. One's the Christian Standard Bible, and the other is the Complete Jewish Bible. Just as you can hear it in a different way. And he's talking about, you know, Yahweh, you know, God of the universe. He alone stretches out the heavens and treads on the waves of the sea. Or the other version says, he alone spreads out the sky and walks on the waves in the sea. Other versions talk about trampling the waters. So here in this narrative with Peter, Jesus does something, and I think he's actually doing it for purely the aspect to help his disciple realize, you know what? I'm not just your average Joe here. I'm doing something that the only other person you've ever heard of doing it was God, Yahweh. And he's making some very implied authorizations to who he is and what he is doing. Then also there's a psalm, and again, just the same two different versions, just Psalm 77. It's verse 19. In the Complete Jewish Bible, it's verse 20 because it's a Jewish Bible. And in the Psalms, where it has that little top thing, it says, a psalm made from David or whatever, that's verse 1 in the Jewish Bible, and it's never verse 1 in our English Bible. Matter of fact, it's really small print, and you might think it's just the editor to put that in, but it's actually in the text, so more than you paid for, I'm sure. Okay. Your way went through the sea, and your path through the vast water, but your footprints were unseen. The footprints not in the mud at the bottom because God's walking on the water, you know. Your way went through the sea, your path through the turbulent waters, but your footsteps could not be traced. Okay, so I think Jesus is making a statement here about why about him doing this. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, it's a ghost. And they cried out in fear. I mean, and if you can just imagine, it's dark. It's a mess out there. And they know evil spirits and stuff like that actually exist, something that, you know, some of us, we think, well, no, is that really real? Yes, it is. You know, that's the evil spiritual forces, and they do exist. And this is what, you know, they're thinking, it's something like that. This is not good. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and says, take heart. And actually, the word there, it's not the Greek word cardia. it's a different word. It's more like courage. So take courage. You know, be strong. It is I. Do not be afraid. If you remember last week when we were talking about how Jesus first caught Peter, where he tells Peter, oh, put your nets over the side. And, you know, Peter's a professional fisherman. Why would I do that? But okay, I'll do it if you say so. And all of a sudden, this huge catch of fish comes in there, starts sinking the two boats and all that. And then Peter goes down on his knees, depart from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. It's that kind of idea. And Jesus says, do not be afraid. It's the same thing here. And it's a theme. And actually, you're going to see that theme anytime any mere mortal sees the angel of Yahweh or an angel or God himself. You know, I mean, you get some focus of his presence there and stuff. And then there's that, do not be afraid. And I think there's something very important for us to recognize. When we're afraid, we can't act for God. We can barely even function. When we give up the fear, then we can act for God. Then we can be God's spokesman to the world. Because fear is nothing of what Yahweh is. It's nothing what Jesus is. And so that can't be part of my life as a follower. I can't live out of that fear. I can't be motivated by fear. I can't make decisions out of fear. I can't live my life out of that fear, whatever the fear is. And that's a strong statement. I think we need to recognize that, because it's when we're not living in that, and we're just, and that's going to come out here later, when we're focusing on Jesus and not the fear and the doubts and the turbulations going around us, then we can live out what God would have us really do for him. And then Peter answered, Lord, if it's you, command me. And again, it's not, well, you know, should I come out? It's, if it's you, command me. Tell me to come out. And he actually used the word to come to you on the water. And then Jesus says, come. So Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came to Jesus. This is an invitation to join Jesus. It's an invitation that Jesus gives to Peter. But the whole Bible is about that same invitation. It's the invitation that God wants to be in relationship with us. And in the New Testament, it's all about, hey, you know what? Jesus is saying, come. And it's an invitation for us to step out of where we're at and go to meet him. He'll meet us halfway, more than halfway, but we actually have to make that effort too. So there's an invitation to join Jesus. Fill in the blank. Our journey with God is not made alone. There's a strong statement there. This statement is talking specifically about we have God who's able to work with us and walk with us, okay? If I just talk about trying to do things alone, that might mean, well, I'm not willing to even accept anybody's help, any of your help, or, you know, family or whatever. I just think I can do it on my own strength. And again, that's false. It doesn't work that way. But we don't have to do our lives now alone. The journey that God has for me as a follower, he's not expecting me to do that alone. I've got Jesus. I've got the example of Jesus. I've got the teachings of Jesus. I've got the Holy Spirit of Jesus, of God, within me. I'm not doing any of this alone. And when we try to do things alone, let's say something comes up and you think, oh man, I've got to fix this. What am I going to do? Why is not the first thought to think about, okay, I've got the author of life right here beside me. Why don't I ask him for wisdom? Why don't I ask him to give me grace so I don't judge the other people around me? Why don't I ask him for help? And I think a lot of times we think asking for help is a weakness. I've seen that all the time. I do that myself. But that's not what a relationship with God is based on. It's not based on me doing anything on my own strength. It's relying on the strength of God. It's relying on the strength of Jesus. It's relying on the example that Jesus has set for me. And that's how I'm supposed to function. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. He was walking on the water, okay? But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." With eyes on Jesus, Peter walks on the water. With eyes on the winds and waves, Peter begins to sink. The wind and the waves here represent doubt, represents the things that are going on in our lives, the obstacles in our lives. And when we concentrate on that, so if I'm looking at the wind and the waves, or I'm looking about, oh, my finances or my marriage is in trouble, you know, and if I'm concentrating, I'm looking at that, then I can't see Jesus right there. He's right out in front of me. He's got his arms open. But I'm looking down here like this. I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to make it. We must keep our eyes on Jesus in order to keep our heads above water. The next fill in the blank. We have to be able to do that. When we are not focused on who Jesus is and what he's got, but instead I'm thinking about the wind and the waves. I'm having the doubts. I'm focusing on the doubts. I'm focusing on my hectic schedule. I'm focusing on how I don't have time to be with my wife in the amount of time that I should be. Or I'm focusing on, you know, what somebody said to me that was just terrible and hurtful. If I'm focusing on that, then I'm also not focusing on Jesus. And if I'm not focusing on Jesus, then how am I going to know what to do? How am I going to know where to go? How am I going to know how to act? And I'm not going to be able to. And then I'm operating then out of my doubt and my fear and not out of my relationship with Jesus. And then I'm compromised. I can't be the same person. Jesus walks with us through the winds and waves and trials with obstacles of life. He's there for us. He's there for us. My phone's sitting on the bench. If I pick up my phone and I look, I got the USA Today app on there, so that's my newspaper, okay? And if I start looking through there, what am I going to see in there? I'm going to see all about the coronavirus and how deadly it is and what we need to do. I'm going to see about all the election doo-doo, okay, which is all kinds of stuff out there that, you know, I'm convinced if the people that are concentrating as much on the election and the candidates, if instead they would pick up their Bibles and concentrate on there, I think we'd have a better world, okay? Now, that's not that I'm against elections. I'm not against anybody trying to run, anything like that. But I guess if anybody wants to have a political discussion with me, let's spend as much time talking about the Bible. And if the basis for talking on the Bible isn't as much as their basis for talking about the political careers of all the people out there, then I would say as a Christian, they've missed it. If I want to look at my newspaper app and I want to decide, wow, what's going on in the world, it's all hell in a handbasket. Yes, I said that out loud. I'm a pastor. I can say hell in a church service. And if you're going to focus on that and not focus on Jesus, who is the hope for the world, and how we have nothing to fear. It's all in his hands, and I'm going to place myself in there, and I'm not going to get deterred from what it is God wants me to do because of anything over here. That's the focus. And that's what it means to have eyes on Jesus. Now, I like to be able to read my app. I like to be able to see what's going on in the world, and that's important. But you have to do that with this. If you're doing it without this, you've missed the whole mark. You might as well put the newspaper away. You got to have this in order to understand what the newspaper's about, in order to understand how do I live my life then in light of what is going on in the world. We're back to the first part of this verse, which I already read. The next is important. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Jesus rescues when we cry out to him. Fill in the blank. Last one. There's some beautiful stuff going on here, if you're watching the drama, it probably did occur to you, because I think this is real, what happens. What happened after Jesus reaches out and pulls Peter out of the water? Does it say he put him in the fireman hold and carried him to the boat? Does it say he floated into the boat? Peter must have walked to the boat, people. There's no other way he got to the boat then. So when Jesus rescued him, he restores him too. He takes away the doubt. Now Peter's able to walk back to the boat. He's able to walk on the water again because now he's doing it with Jesus. Now he's focusing on Jesus. I'm guaranteeing he wasn't focusing on the waves then. Now he's looking in Jesus' eyes and he's thinking, "What have I got myself into? I'm not worthy of this." But that's Jesus for us. So when we cry out to him, and believe me, you do have to cry out. So cry out. Cry out and say, "I can't do this alone. I can't do this by myself. I need you, Jesus." And he's there. He's going to reach out. He's going to grab you. It's interesting. It talks about the doubt. You know, why did you doubt? There's a verse that I found this week. And again, I would have read this many, many times. It comes out of James. And note the language here in James 1, 6 and 7. "But let him ask in faith," and it was actually talking about wisdom, okay? "And let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind." How beautiful is that? James, Jesus' brother who wrote this, wasn't one that was in the boat. He actually wasn't one of the disciples. I'm sure he heard some stories. Maybe it's just the Holy Spirit. But doubt and waves and wind, all in the same verse. It fits. "For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord." For those of us who follow Christ, for those of us who are Christians, who call Jesus the Lord of our lives, there's no need to doubt. We don't focus on the obstacles, the waves, the wind. Keep our eyes on Jesus. And I think that's the whole point of this story, that Jesus is Yahweh. Just like in the Old Testament. I mean, he's got the same characteristics. I mean, he is. And we need to recognize when we've got that power, that presence with us, we don't need to focus on anything else. We just need to focus on Jesus. And then last, "And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased." Again, who's Lord of creation? It's Yahweh. It's Jesus. "And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" It's just, it's beautiful to see that for us. We need to come to that moment of realization too. That no matter what all's going on in the world and the things we're worried about, and again, there could be things that we're validly worried about. Maybe you're in danger of losing your job. Maybe you did lose your job. Maybe your relationship with your spouse is not the way it should be, or your children. Maybe you've got all kinds of, you know, financial troubles. I mean, yes, those are real things. And eyes on Jesus doesn't make those go away, but eyes on Jesus gives you answers for what do you do then? Do you sit and wallow in pity? If you're having a bad time with your wife, do you curse her out? No. I mean, there's things to do. But the point would be, don't turmoil in looking at those same things. Instead, put your eyes on Jesus and recognize, okay, you know, I need help. Can't do this by myself. Well, you're not supposed to do it by yourself, right? You're supposed to do it walking with Jesus. That's the invitation for all of us. For anybody in the world, that's what Jesus wants, is that relationship restored. As I close in prayer, I just want to, again, offer, as you are dismissed, if you want to come up for prayer, just invite you to come up. You could come up for any kind of reason. Maybe it focuses on what was on the sermon, or maybe there's something else. Please just go ahead and do that. Please bow with me in prayer. Lord God, I want to thank you for the way that you are here. I want to thank you for your power. I want to thank you for the way that you love us so much, that you have changed and transformed the world because of your love for us. Let us live in that transformation. Let us not be weighed down by the doubts and the alarmist things and the terrible situation that the physical world is in. Let us rely on you, Lord. Let us focus on you. Let us keep our eyes on you, your hope for the world, your salvation, which is for all people. And let us live that the way we should. I pray all this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.